troubling on every hand, and God is helping us to strengthen our foundation. The problem with the Christians that I see falling in these days, I have discovered that it is their foundations. I've known men who we used to go together to the house of God and worship God together 30, 40 years ago, who have turned aside and gone to false doctrines, gone to all different kinds of things for comfort and strength, and they have left the path of Jesus Christ. And I am saying this, that you may know that this is a day in which the stars are falling. But it is also a day in which those who did not have strength are picking up new strength in God. It is also a day when God is saying to us, get your foundation strengthened, because the storm is coming. The darkness is coming. Trim your lamps. And the word of God to us is a word of strengthening, a word of deliverance, a word that gives us greater hope. Let us turn our Bibles to Luke. And in the very first chapter, the coming of Jesus Christ as a babe. Jesus, the Father, speaking to Mary. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 1. Yes. And in verse 31, it says the angel is giving Mary a word of hope. A word of hope. It says, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Actually, the angel says, Yahshuah. You shall call his name Yahshuah. And in the Greek it is soteria, savior, savior, deliverer, keeper, healer, baptizer, and the one that will present you blameless before God. What do you have to do? Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, his very name is a promise. If you believe in Jesus, you must begin to believe in his power to save. And not just to pull you out of the water, because everyone who is saved can drown again. There's no insurance that the same person you saved today won't go and drown tomorrow. But when Jesus saved you, he keeps you. Hallelujah. Amen. So he's the keeper of that which he saves. Hallelujah. Let's think about it. Let's believe it. Let's get it in our hearts. You know why? Because the darkness is coming. The day is coming when you're going to have to know that the God that saved you is keeping you. Oh yes. Don't listen to any other preaching. Anything that says God not keeping you, don't listen to it. Anything that says that, oh boy, hey, you sin too hard, so you're going to hell. Don't believe it. Believe that the same God that keeps saved you is going to keep you. You know why? Because it is that belief and it is that faith that is going to make you stand. When everything else around you is falling, that belief That faith is going to make you stand straight. This is the roughest time in the history of the world. It is the roughest time in the history of the world. I always say, thank God I'm not a young man again at this time. For the young people have a lot of burdens that we, the older ones, don't have. Believe you me, we just have to keep praying for them and keep them before the kingdom of God, because it is the roughest time on the whole 6,000 years since God made man. God said it would be. He said it should be. There should be a time of trouble such as never was since God made man. I'm quoting from Daniel and from Revelation. God said it. And if you don't believe it, I tell you, I don't know what else you would believe, because this time is going to get just a little bit worse. It's going to get a little worse before it gets better. Amen. So it's not bad news, it's good news. When it gets rough, it's going to get rough, and it's going to get rough. But you know something? God promises that He will keep you no matter how rough it gets. He will keep that which you have committed to Him against that day. You know, I always think of that day. Do you know that all of us have a very dark day in our lives? A day that is darker than any day was dark. I mean, apart from the dark day that is coming in the world, each individual must face his dark day and her dark day. And that's the day when you will prove your God. That's the day when you will need your God. That's the day when you will need that faith to believe. God's been talking to me recently about all the things we have been preaching. We've been preaching, people saying amen, amen. You believe it, but the belief has got to go deeper than skin deep. It's going to have to get into your heart and into your system. That belief that we're talking about. Every item, point by point, you get tested on them. Do you believe that Jesus Christ saved you? Amen. Yes. You believe that Jesus Christ baptized you in the Holy Ghost? Praise God. Yes. Then you're going to have to believe that God, Jesus Christ, is standing right beside you in the darkest hour of your life. Amen. You know, I was thinking of the reality of God. We call this reality, the light. Folks sitting down, we are real to one another, and to us that is the very greatest in all reality. It can't be more real than seeing Gary sitting down before me. But God is showing us a different reality. This thing, take a match, put to this desk, and all we get out of it is a bunch of ashes. That shows that it wasn't real. Things that suffer change lack something in reality. But God said it was the things that we cannot see that made the things that we can see. So which is more real? The everlasting things, the eternal things, are the things that made the things that do appear. But because of our eyes, because we are on the same frequency, come on now, because we're on the same frequency with this, and when I walk forward, this stops me, because I am on the same frequency with this bit of wood. But if it was a radio wave, it wouldn't stop me. I would walk right through the radio wave. But if I switch the radio on, I would hear what is on the other frequency, and it is reality. It is as real as the test that stopped me. Am I making sense? Praise be to God. God is saying to us tonight that we must realize something. Tonight we came here, and we came here to hear a word and to feast upon the things of God. You have to understand that Jesus Christ is sitting down in one of these benches, and that he's looking at us in a way that I cannot look at you. He's seeing the hearts of his people. Did you come here to be exposed to Jesus Christ? Did you come here for Jesus Christ to look right through you and see everything in your heart, and to know what is in your heart, and to know your pain, and to be able to say to you, daughter, be healed. Son, be encouraged. Your God is right here tonight in a greater reality than we are. For he is on a frequency that will never change. And what we are will pass away. This body will change. So God is saying tonight, can we really trust Jesus with our destiny, with the destiny of our loved ones? Can we really trust him with the destiny of one who we see going over into the precipice? Can you trust Jesus Christ with his destiny, with her destiny? Then you will begin, just barely begin, to believe as you ought to. We need to have a firmer faith in the things that we believe, because the time is coming that is going to test the very foundation of everything that we believe. Foundational truths. Jesus Christ is my Savior. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Is he? Is he? Is Jesus your Lord? Okay. I want Jesus to be my Lord. I know everybody can say amen to that. I do want Jesus, but is he? Does he reign over every facet of my life? Are all my actions submitted to him and approved before I get a right of way to do them? Do I walk under the lordship of Jesus Christ? Faith. You're going to have to believe him to do it. You're going to have to believe that Jesus, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost are looking about your interest. Oh, yes. Turn your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 8. And Romans 8 and the 28. It says, and we know. I put a little circle around the we. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, first of all, let's define who the we are. It says, we who love God. Who are those who love God? I answer the question, those who obey God. So we who obey God, are we who have faith in God? Because look, it is righteousness to obey God. But it is also righteousness to have faith in God that He will make you obey God. Come on, let's get that again. It is righteousness to obey God, but it is also righteousness if you don't know what to do to obey God. If you feel yourself lost, poor me, I don't know what God wants me to do. It is also righteousness then to have faith in God that He will make you obey and help you to obey. So you have to believe God first of all in order to obey Him. So there's no excuse for not obeying God. For most of the time you don't know what God wants you to do. But God will reveal to you what He wants you to do if you believe Him. You know that I quoted a scripture there. I quoted John chapter 7 verse 17. That's what it says. It says that if you desire to obey God, if you desire to do God's will, God will let you know what to do. Isn't that simple? It is simple. It's ABC, yet some of us miss it. Amen. Don't go around saying, I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know what God. I asked God, but God didn't tell me what He wants me to do. Amen. That's not the attitude. The attitude is, I am obeying God. I have obeyed God, and I will obey God because I believe that God's going to make me obey. He's going to show me what to do. And when He shows me, I'm going to do it. Amen. When Jesus Christ was showing me how many men were sent out, He sent out many men, and how the men were being distracted by different things, and how they were turning aside, some distracted by money, some distracted by power, some distracted, the very healing power of God became a distraction to men. God gave me the gift of healing and the gift of miracles, and He told me not to use it. I mustn't go around seeking congregation, getting a manager to get me a big tent and to fill the tent. You see what I'm saying? And I could be distracted by it. Once I had a toothache, and I said, my God, You got to heal this toothache. And He didn't answer. I said, Lord, heal the toothache. He didn't answer. Until I said, God, but why don't You heal the toothache? Why don't You answer me? He said, all right, I'll heal your toothache. He said, if I heal that too, what would You do? I said, well, I'd ask You to heal Mavis's tooth too. Now, when you're dealing with God, you have to be dead honest. He said, I asked Him for Mavis. He said, well, all right. So I would heal Mavis's too. I said, what else? I said, well, I asked Him for Steve. That's our middle son. Because he has bad teeth. That's not true. He said, yes, that's not true. He said, so what else? Yes, I'll become a tooth specialist. I mean, I saw it as clear as day. He said, go down there and let the dentist take care of it. I went down to the dentist and I have not had any trouble since. Amen. But I saved the ministry that He had given me. He does not want me to go out healing people's teeth. Because tonight, if I was a tooth specialist and they hear that when Dusille touches somebody and the jaw zap, a tooth come up. There was a man doing that in Jamaica. He came along and a girl got a gold tooth in her mouth. See, I don't know what it was. I don't know where it come from. But that was his ministry. I'll get this place full and people would be packed and standing outside to come in. What they want? The gospel? Jesus? Oh no, they want their teeth healed. They want someone to see the excitement of a miracle done. And they pack the miracle places because they want to see the miracle. We miss God, get distracted. And when God showed me all those men that were distracted by the very ministry that he had given them, God said to me, I said to him, Lord, before you send me, I would like you to answer one question. It was two questions, but this is the one that I want to talk about tonight. And I said, Lord, you knew those men were going to be distracted and turn aside when you sent them out. He said, yes. I said, then now you're sending me? Am I going to be one of the distracted ones? What's going to happen? And I always say, oh, Jesus acted like a human being. Of course, I suppose he is. He paused. He could have answered me. He paused, like someone considering it over. And then he said, you can make it. He said, you can make it. You know what that meant to me? That meant that it was in my hands. The responsibility was in my hands. If I wanted to make it, I could make it. This word I'm saying to you tonight is, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, this passage did not say all things are good, because there are some things evil, there are some things bad, there are some things wicked, there are some things that have come to kill you, that come with no other intention but to wipe you out. There are some things designed to take you out of God entirely, knock you out clean. That everything that Satan does to you is to try to disrupt your Christian life entirely. So all things are not good. But God said that it will work for good because of you. If you believe God, if you love God, the power of your faith will overturn the work of the devil and turn it to good. Can you understand? This is the reason why when the enemy strikes you, when the enemy strikes you, and when you feel the pain of it, you must not fail. You see, his intention is that you should fail, that you should wither up and say, oh, I'm finished. And God is saying to you, we know. Chuckle. Use your knowledge. Use the power of your faith. I shall not give up, for my God reigns. My God is alive, and he's going to pull me out of this hole, and he's going to turn things upside down and make it right.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Though the devil has capsized my life, has hurt my loved one, has destroyed, and it seems that it's all over, I'm going to believe God that out of the ashes God will rise up again. Isaac, promised son. Abraham went up with his son Isaac. His heart was heavy as lead. He was walking up the hill because the one son he had, God had told him to offer him as a sacrifice. Abraham did not know if that day God was wanting a human sacrifice. That's the truth. And Abraham took him up. But his heart was set on God. His heart was set because God cannot lie. God had promised him that he would bring forth a nation out of that boy. And God could not lie. And God could not let down a common man. The Almighty God would never fail. He took the boy. He bound him on the altar. He must have said goodbye to him. He lifted the knife in his hand to plunge it into him. And God held him. Hallelujah. Praise be to God Almighty. Amen. We know for sure. There's no doubt about it. That it's going to work for good. I don't matter what it is. If it is death, it's going to work for good. Amen. I told you many times, maybe this story I tell you again, of the boy, the vision God gave me of a mother crying for her son. And she cried for her son to God, and God said he would save the son, and the son died. And she couldn't forgive God. Brethren, is there anything in your heart you can't forgive God for? Let me tell you something. God is good. God is good. Everything God does is good. And to comfort that woman, God gave me a message to her. Here was God looking down upon the river of the boy's life, going around each curve. The boy could only see each curve at a time, and he was going down on his canoe. And God sent an angel to stop him. When the mother cried, God sent an angel to stop him. He overcame it. The mother cried again, God, save my son. He sent a tree across the river to stop him. And the boy hacked his way across the tree and went on. Finally, he was going to pitch over a great precipice, which was eternity. And God stretched down his hand and took him out. And he called to the mother and said, I have saved your son. He began to see them. And she began to say, thank you, Jesus. You were looking after my welfare all the while. And I didn't know. Praise be to God. We know, therefore, we know because of the spiritual sense that we have. We know because of the faith we have in our God. That all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. Praise be to God. God will not fail. Amen. I want you to turn with me to Colossians. And we look at chapter 2. And we look at the verse 9 and 10. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. God says that if you want the mind of Christ, the first thing you have to do is to get rid of your way of thinking. It's just your thought process. It's just the way you think, and begin to ask God to put his thinking into you. Therefore, it is a knowledge. It is a knowledge that comes to us that we are not complete people. We are not fully made. We can only find completeness in Jesus Christ. In other words, we cannot
trust our own hands. We cannot trust our own power. We cannot trust anything that is human. We can only find completeness in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is only what Christ does that is worth it. It says, we are complete in Him. When God made Adam, He made an incomplete man. Adam wasn't finished. He wasn't a finished product. The devil came and found the unfinished product, and he decided he was going to destroy it. God sent Jesus Christ to finish the job. Therefore, it is only in Christ that we can find completion. Now, I don't know if you understand what in Christ means. It has a specific term. It has a specific meaning. Now, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you receive the blood of Jesus Christ, which is God's life. God gives you a charge of life. A charge of life, and that charge resurrects your soul area. Whereas your soul was dead, it came alive. Amen. So whereas you were a dead soul, you are now a living soul. Can you see that? Now, as a living soul, you begin to ask for living food, for living things, your whole perspective changes, and you ask and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is the charge of God coming into your spirit. God Himself coming into your spirit. That's what we call the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You know what's happening? You are being completed. Amen. There are three things you lack. The Bible describes them as three stones. Three stones, three areas of life. You lack the cross. You lack the blood of Jesus Christ. You lack the sonship. That is, being a son of God. And this, the movement of that, all God is doing to you, is bringing you into that place where you can be completed. Now, if we resist God, the work is clear. If we assist God, the work is fine. How can you assist God? Well, if I want the mind of Christ, I cannot keep going along believing in my own mind and the way I think that everybody else should do what I say. No, I can't continue that way and get the mind of Christ. Never. You have to reject something to get something. You know why? Because your mind is occupying the place where the mind of Christ is. Your way of thinking, your very thought process, you know, your human thought process, is in the way of the mind of Christ. If a psychologist, a psychiatrist, begins to analyze you, and that work in your mind has started with Jesus Christ, he's going to find areas where you are not rational according to his 1, 2, 3 methods. You won't think in the rational way. Next thing you will talk as being crazy. Because the mind of God is not like human mind. The Bible says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and the heavens are above the earth. If we begin to think about this, we will be able to take that passage in Romans and say, God, I cannot see it, I cannot feel it, I cannot hear it, I cannot taste it, I cannot touch it, but I can believe it. That it will work together for good. That it looks that way to me. It never looks like it's going to work for good. But you see, I've given you a secret. You know why it will work for you? Because you believe. It is your faith in God that is going to activate the process that will kill the evil. Don't you understand why we need to have this faith and this belief in the unseen God? Closer than our very breath, Jesus Christ in here tonight, the Holy Ghost within your human body. Hallelujah. When you turn to see it. Yes, he said he's closer than your very breath. When you turn, the Holy Ghost sees it. When your heart is in fire, the Holy Ghost sees it and he knows it. Have you ever said, come, Holy Spirit, and heal me now? For you are the power to the comfort. I need your comfort now. You ever said that? Anytime you feel rested, be comforted. Cry out and say, Holy Spirit, you are the comfort. Give me now your comfort. And you'll feel such a peace that's spreading over you. Regardless of what the trouble is, God is saying to us tonight, because we are not completed, we should know that we are not completed, and we should know where our completion lies. You don't have complete emotions. Your emotions are not complete. In other words, they are part of what they are to be. And let me tell you, sometimes you don't even know what they are to be. You don't know how you should be. A certain thing happens to you and you don't really know how you should feel. So does God feel about it. But if you can reject your emotions and say, God, I know that I'm feeling this way because I'm not complete. I need your feelings on the matter. Sometimes it is God's thought on the matter that will give you the right feelings. On the mountain. Hallelujah. And then God gives you the right feeling, other things will come in place. Don't you understand? You know, your will is not all together God's will. You know, Jesus Christ said, I would like to do thy will. Said it is written in the book that I came for one purpose. I came for one purpose, to do thy will, O God. That's your purpose. Don't you see, since God made you over, you have a new purpose. My, can you say that with your heart? I come, Lord, to do thy will. Oh God, for in the volume of the book it is written of me. Oh, you said it's God that is not Jesus then. It's written of Jesus. No. It's written in the book that God will have a people to do his work. Do you want me to read it for you? Come on now, did I get a few yes? Praise be to God, amen. Let us take Hebrews 8. I take the New Testament because the same thing is in the Old, but and we look at verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their heart, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me. So it means that God is now writing in your heart His will, His perfect will, so that you will be, one day you will be, the perfect will of God walking on the earth. Do you believe it? You're going to have to believe it to make it. You're not going to make it by trying to be good. You know, some rank outsiders, I used to love heart racing in your time. And when an outsider win, or a dark, what you call a dark horse, win the race, it feels good. And it seems to me that some rank outsiders are going to come in and win the God. You know what? It's not how good they are, how sweet they are, how many meetings they go to, how much they take, but just how much they believe God. And if you believe God this moment, all things are possible to him that believes. God will move heaven and earth for us tonight. There's nothing impossible within our God, within our consciousness. God will do it for you. Without the healing, without the deliverance, without whatever it is, just show your God tonight. And before we leave here, we're going to make a covenant with God that we believe His word. And He's going to bring it to pass. Oh, yes. God is on our side. Oh, yes. God is on our side. It may not look so. It may not feel so. But we know it is. And remember, the working together for good is going to be because we activate the processes of God to work. Thank you. It's going to work because you work it. In other words, faith is going to work because you believe. It's not going to work like magic without your faith, without your faith in God. God gives you the word of God, and this is the basis of your faith. You know? He says, you're going to be perfect, you believe it. You believe it? You don't feel like it. Oh, no. But you believe it. And let me show you the word. You turn back to Hebrews. Did I say Hebrews? No, I meant from back to Romans. Back to Romans. It says here, verse 29, for whom he did, I'm sorry, chapter 8, the same chapter we were at. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, Jesus Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren. It means to say that we tonight who are here have been ordained to be just like Jesus Christ. How was this? Jesus was a carpenter for 30 years. He worked as a carpenter. Well, he didn't work when he was born. I got that wrong. He began to laugh and I said, he was a carpenter for 30 years. Hallelujah. He wasn't a carpenter when he was year one. But Jesus was a carpenter in his first 30 years. And he worked a natural job. He took care of his family. They had problems. She had many brothers. She had sisters. He had his father died, Joseph, the man who was taking care of them. He died, and he, Jesus, was the eldest son, so he had to take care of his mother and his family. You know, some of us, we look at Jesus and we don't see him overcoming as a natural man. But he overcame as a natural man. He had to make a budget. He had to earn so much to take care of his family. And I'm sure Jesus would never use the power of God to make money or to get good. Amen. Praise God. And so he worked hard and fed them and took care of them. Then he was on the cross. He turned around and said, a word of comfort to Mary, John's going to take care of you. So he told her John will take care of you. And the Bible says John took her to his house and that's it. Okay. So if you will look at me, what I'm trying to say to you, you are being made like Jesus Christ himself. You are being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Just as Jesus Christ lived the natural life, just as he overcame in the natural, you are being asked right now to use the power of God and overcome any circumstance in your life. God says he will not allow anything to hit you that would overcome you. Nothing has been designed in heaven or on earth or from here that can overcome the Christian, said the Lord. Don't you hear me? You can understand then that God provided victory for you. It doesn't look that way. It doesn't feel that way sometimes. You feel defeated, you feel beaten, you feel burdened, but don't follow feelings. They're not always right. And I say that. God is saying therefore to us that Jesus Christ at 30 years of age, when he was a mature man, as a Jew, he was a man, matured man, he was counted as a guy at 30, and he took up his ministry, and he ministered for 3.5 years. And I want you to hear this one. God is going to ask you, the church, the body of Christ, to minister in a supernatural ministry for 3.5 years before the end comes. My opinion is that we are very close to this situation. My opinion is that the reason we are being so badgered by circumstances, by everything, by the world, is that we are getting very, very, very close to the time when God will bring everything to close. And in that darkness, God is going to want a people to minister to the church. And this people will minister exactly like Jesus Christ ministered in Galilee. He said, greater work shall you do than this, for I go to my Father. Thank you. He said, greater work. And you know, many a minister tell you, well, you know, this greater work means more work. You know, I think the greater work means greater work. Because he said he was going away and he was going to leave the finishing of the job to the church, to the body. Therefore, I must believe Romans 8 that I and you and some of us at least are going to come forth in the image of God. Then I ask God, what is it? Are we better than those who didn't make it? What is it? Because I know that a lot of people we preached to in the past, they felt they were better than the church people, and they looked down on them. But I read Matthew 22, and you know what I see there? It says God sent out three times and made three calls to three different sets of people. The first set was you. They were busy with something else. The second set were busy and so on and so on. And the third set were from the three people. They were the horse and the maimed. Huh? They were the horse and the maimed. And from the byways and the edges, God brought them in and they won. Wow. They believed God, nothing else. They weren't better than anybody else. They weren't better than any of the others that were called. And I'm telling you, brethren, those of us who are going to win are those of us who believe God. You're just going to have to take the word of God and believe it. Tonight, I want you to believe that you are going to be like Jesus Christ one day. Not because of your goodness, but you are going to be like Jesus Christ because you believe this word that says you are going to be like Jesus. Now, if you believe that, whatever happens to you, you are going to say, thank you, Jesus. This is part of what it takes to make me like Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah. You have heard of saints going through the fire. You have heard of saints overcoming. You're going to find out what it really means in the very near future. Yet at the end of time, it could not be far away. Then it couldn't be very far away now. And God is calling his people to arm themselves. Arm yourselves with faith in God Almighty, and nothing will move you. He said that one man built his house upon the sand. And the rain came, and the floods, and the storm, and the wind, and the house did not stand, because the foundation was bad. The same house was built by another man upon the rock. And when the wind beat against it, it stood, because the foundation was good. Remember, I say that I started out by saying I've known many men who failed God. Today we see them on the television, we see hear them on the radio, we see them all around. They are preaching the gospel, but there are men who have already failed because they have turned aside from the main line that God has given them, and they find a solid line. Oh yeah. There are people, little people, not big folks, who are not going to turn aside and going to go right on the main line with God. And you have to believe that on that road, all things work together for good. For you. Not for everybody, but for you. Thank you, Jesus. All things work together for good for me. Because I believe that. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. You know. If you believe God, it can happen. You see, let me tell you something about faith. You cannot believe something right now. You cannot believe. Okay. This morning, I was in Janesville, Wisconsin. Area, that area. And I wanted to come here. And I could not bring myself to believe that God would transport me down here. I had to go rent a car. Come on. I couldn't go God for your son. Amen. If thou canst believe it all,